Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
A GP who had rare seizures after receiving a first dose of AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine cannot now receive a COVID vaccine certificate. She says she's concerned that other people like her, who can't receive a second dose for medical reasons, are being left behind by the government. And Tracy joins us now. Tracy, thanks a million for talking to us on the programme today. You're very welcome.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
You'll
forgive me if I'm either a bit emotional or intense. I'm recovering from brain surgery, as you know.
No, I do understand that. And you might explain to people in just a moment as to why. So, and I know you've been through the mill, and it's difficult for you to recount your experiences. But you had your first dose of AstraZeneca, Tracy, in February as a frontline healthcare worker. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Previous to that, I actually had COVID in March 2020 at the very start of the pandemic. I contracted it at work. I was actually 7 months pregnant at the time. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, other than no sense of taste or smell and no antenatal care for 7 weeks, I fully recovered and delivered a healthy baby.
Okay, which is great.
Yeah.
And congratulations to you. But shortly after you got your AstraZeneca vaccine in February, tell me what happened.
Yes, I got my AstraZeneca vaccine in February as part of the rollout for the frontline healthcare workers vaccine programme. And I would like to stress, I am not here to scaremonger. I know the real threat that COVID presents on a global public health scale. I'm a frontline healthcare worker. I know the devastation and the impact that it devastates families. So I'm not here to scaremonger. All I'm here is to highlight a gap in the legislation and an oversight in neglecting to include medical exemption.
Okay, because I think you were telling a colleague of mine you are not anti-vaccination, is that right?
Absolutely not. I'm the opposite. I'm a vaccinator.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Our only way out of this is with the vaccine rollout, and the numbers speak for themselves. The COVID numbers at the minute are very concerning, but the morbidity and mortality are down.
So you want to highlight your own very extremely rare situation.
Yeah.
So tell me what happened to you in terms of symptoms after you got the vaccine.
So again, it is extremely rare. As you'll hear from my story, I had a predisposition that I'm unaware of, and for the vast majority of overwhelming majority of people, benefits outweigh the risks for the vaccine. But I'll tell you my story. So I got the vaccine, I had the usual systemic symptoms, we call it. So it was a fever and chills for about 24 hours, and then the following night, I had what turned out to be my first ever seizure. Now, it's not a seizure as you would expect with somebody having a generalized fit. This is a seizure of a very focal part of my brain, which actually controls your hearing and your sleep consolidation. So what happened to me was I heard very loud banging in my head just as I was falling asleep.
Mm-hmm. And how long would it go on for, Tracy?
Oh, gosh. So that was the first one, and they escalated and escalated until the point I wasn't getting any sleep. And even as a GP, I didn't know what was going on. I, you know, went to see my GP, and even I could, by the hypothesis, potentially it was down to stress. You know, who was having fun in February and January? You
know,
actually, four young kids, homeschooling, you know, everybody was under pressure. So I could buy the theory that it was down to stress. But because they became so relentless, I ended up getting no sleep. And I went back to work from maternity leave during this period.
Oh my goodness, that must have been really difficult.
I actually said to my husband in the middle of the night, this has to be a brain tumour. The fact that these are so relentless, resistant to treatment and progressive and severe. Look, I can only tell you this now in hindsight, but I felt suicidal. I just couldn't get any sleep. And with four young kids and being a GP, I'm sure you can imagine what that felt like.
Oh, it's too much, yeah. I'm really sorry you felt like that. And did you find out what it was in the end?
Right, so then eventually I ended up getting an MRI, which showed an abnormality in my temporal lobe. So this is the part of the brain I was referring to. We actually presumed it was a tumour at the time. So I went for neurosurgery. And in fact, it wasn't a tumour, it was a brain injury. So as you can see, I have a predisposition to whatever was triggered by the AstraZeneca vaccine, a brain injury which my neurologist believes I have lived with for my entire life. Possibly I had a stroke as a baby or in the womb, but it was calcified, meaning it's been in there for decades.
Okay. And so how did it's a difficult question to pose to him, but so you had this brain injury for all of your life, but it only became an issue in February, is that right?
Exactly. So what I'm saying is there is no scientific proof that the AstraZeneca vaccine caused my condition. All we're saying is it's called a temporal association. So the timing of events are linked.
Okay.
And because the timing of events from the vaccine to the symptoms are so close, it obviously raises the possibility of a vaccine-related incident.
And that's why they say don't get the second dose. Is that right?
So, exactly.
So then
because I've had COVID and I've had a vaccine, I'm as immune as anybody could be to COVID because... Oh, look, I'll not get into the nuances of clauses within the NIAC guidelines, but I've had natural immunity, I've had a vaccine. COVID, to quote my neurologist, is not the greatest risk to my health. And unfortunately, my seizures, are, as I've described to them, are continuing despite neurosurgery, despite basically top dose of double anti-epileptic medication, and I'm facing more specialist treatment that may involve more brain surgery.
So you're dealing with all of that, but you're here to tell us that you are falling through a loophole here because you're not eligible for a vaccine cert.
I'm not eligible for a vaccine cert because I can't tick those two boxes of having two doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine. If, in fact, I will tell you, if I had two AstraZeneca vaccines, I would be about 60% immune to COVID. Having had natural disease and then a vaccine, I'm about 90% immune to COVID.
Okay.
But because I can't tick those two boxes, I don't get a certificate.
I understand exactly your position. And you say that a small minority of people may fall into this category as well. What's your appeal then to the department and the government?
So I know of other, in fact, female healthcare workers that have had a reaction to the AstraZeneca vaccine and their medics have advised them against getting a second. But there is no medical exemption written into this legislation on vaccine certification. And for me, this shows an oversight. So England, as you probably know, are considering rolling out a vaccine certificate system a bit like ours. But even before they have put it into legislation, there's a medical exemption clause. To me, this is not controversial, it's not debatable, it's scientific. Vaccines are a pharmaceutical product. Pharmaceutical products carry the risk of side effects. The most are going to be mild to moderate. There's a very small minority of people who will have, for me, a life-threatening reaction.
Yeah.
And people with life-threatening reactions, and that's all I'm talking about here. You know, I'm not talking about sore arm or somebody who's had a, you know, fever for a day. Life-threatening reaction, they can't get a second vaccine.
Okay.
And we are falling between the stools,
okay,
right?
Between the cracks. So can I say to you, Tracy, that we're hearing you loud and clear. You've made your case extremely clear to us. We'll follow it up and see what the department and the government says about your situation. But you want a vaccine cert and you want to be clarified as an exemption since you are the rarest of rare cases.
Right.
I'm really sorry to hear.
And this is not about going into cafes, right?
I know.
Staying at home is easier.
I know.
But I worry about, or no, I don't worry, I presume this is going to get rolled out into other areas. You know, the government encouraging service providers or private businesses to use the vaccine certificate to increase the safety of their service or potentially their work environment. And this worries me about my job. I mean, I'm a frontline healthcare worker.
Yeah.
And I actually have an interest in dermatology and skin surgery, so I can't do that remotely, you know. And I can understand the argument, okay, COVID doesn't care if you can't or you won't get a vaccine. But I suppose the whole idea is to vaccinate the population to protect people like me.
Yeah, okay.
Who actually can't, or vaccinate the elderly and the vulnerable.
So you're asking to refine the system a little bit. Okay, Tracy, we're hearing you loud and clear. I hope your health improves in the interim. But thank you very much indeed for talking to us on Drive Time and telling us your story. And we'll see what comes of your appeal. Thank you very much.